Sponsored by Margaret Jackson.
AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Magazine and the Business on the Edge Incorporated Small Business here in Silicon Valley. Thank you for tuning into the show tonight. We always appreciate your listenership here in Silicon Valley and around the world. If you want to dial into the show and get your questions and answers on air, dial 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220. Got a pretty cool show for you tonight. I got a great guest coming on, and we're going to talk a little bit about money, finances, and promote this event that this guest is having. There's interesting statistics on women and wealth and finances and helping educate our girls to grow up with a wealth mindset. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Let's talk a little bit. You know, I like talking money when we get an opportunity, statistics, and some of the realities that are out there. And what happens when a husband dies? We have statistics on that, on how, unfortunately, many women end up closer to that poverty line. So we want to talk about those realities, and hopefully, men, this will be a great show for you to listen in and just think about some of the things that are important to the women in your life and the girls in your life. So before we do that, let me talk a little bit about our guests. We're going to get started quickly in the show. I want to be able to give this trainer, instructor who's trained around Silicon Valley, around the country, around California, certified educator with college universities. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background for him. And then we can get into some conversations about what is the importance of money. You know, we don't talk about like we should. I have a 25-year-old son, and he says there's certain things that he wish he had learned in school, and we're teaching him and training him about different things like how to interview. But, you know, and money is one of those things that we don't really have all of the conversations we probably should have when we're growing up. And so we want to, I certainly didn't, and I didn't come out of a family that knew how to have those conversations. And so we're going to have a money conversation tonight and wealth conversation tonight that hopefully it'll resonate with you and help you take those next steps that's going to put you in a better financial place where you want to be a little bit more comfortable. Bradley Hamada is currently a registered member with the Heartland Institute of Financial Education as one of their certified financial educators for the Institute. He has taught financial wellness courses throughout Northern California and has helped train other instructors in places like Hawaii. He continues to work with them as both an instructor as well as a certified college consultant, helping families with high school students to better plan for college. Who doesn't want that? And I'm going to tell you, it is worth paying attention and having that understanding of how can you go to college and not have that college debt. I can tell you, you can do it. My son, my husband, and I, we have about 12 degrees between us, and we do not have college debt. In fact, I am currently got some things going on in my personal world, and I have no college debt in regard to that. Education should be ongoing. You should be a lifelong learner, and it costs to be a lifelong learner. So we're going to talk to Brad Hamada. Brad, how are you tonight? Thank you for coming on the show, and we look forward to having a conversation with you kind of mellow tonight, and I just want to have some real straightforward conversation about building wealth, finances, money, women, college. How do you prepare for college and save, things like that? How are you tonight? Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I am doing fantastic.
Great. So, Brad, let's just start kind of at the beginning. I know that you, and as I recall, you come originally out of a finance back, banking, is it a banking background?
I come out, not actually, no finance. I used to formerly be an engineer here in Silicon Valley.
That's far from banking, engineer. I got that. Did I swing and miss? Did I strike out on that? But there's some real, we don't really have the right conversations about money, really how much is a dollar worth, how to really prepare for savings. And in fact, I was I was out traveling and I was listening in on conversations about and this is usually like millennials and younger generation, you know, I need to save more money and putting money in a bank account. And really, are you really saving the right kind of money? You know, is your money really working for you in that those sorts of manners? So can you just kind of start us out on what are some of the things that you see, kind of the errors or wrong thinking that we might have when it comes to just thinking about money, let alone building building wealth? What are some of the errors that you see?
Oh gosh, okay. Where do I start here? For me, a lot of what I learned through my own experience, and so I grew up. I went to college and got an engineering degree. Took tons of math classes, and came out to the working world. And as soon as I started to work, I was immediately a proposal came out for something called the 401k. Right, and so that was my first endeavor into investing, and I saw everyone else doing it, and I thought, okay, this is cool. If everyone else is doing it, then I should do it. And that's kind of where I think a lot of people start, is they start out saving because, not because they actually understand how to do it, but was because they saw someone else doing it. And sometimes, you know, it's people that we really look up to, like our parents, and maybe it's our bosses and our coworkers, and they mentor us in engineering and other things, but a lot of times they're not necessarily they don't have the highest financial aptitude either. Or a lot of times they've seen, or the things that they do, they've learned from the guy before them too. So it kind of gets passed along. And these knowledge of products and things like that seem to be kind of paramount. But the thing that I see missing is people's just basic understanding of money, how it works, thinking about how much they should be saving. Some of the things that are so simple that you would kind of just skip over it and want to just get straight to where should I stick my money? Mm-hmm. And so, through the education process, that's what I've seen for myself and for people that I've worked with, is that it really needs to start from a more, even a more simplistic level about discipline and then starting to build up from there. So instead of taking a look at what stock should I buy or where should I invest my money, it needs to start with how does money work? How does time help me? How soon should I start? Those kind of things.
And we're not getting that. Is there a reason why we don't, just in our education system, and I'm not sure if you have an opinion on this or not, is there a reason why we don't kind of have this sort of training or class like in high school or maybe even junior high might be an interesting place, but for sure in high school and having classes that really kind of talk about the realities of being responsible, being disciplined with savings. Is there a reason for that, do you think, on really financial intelligence? Is there a reason why we don't have at least one class in our school system that endeavors to try to train? Or do you think that's just a parental piece of what parents should be doing?
That's a great question, because that kind of gets to the very crux of the matter, right? Like, how does everything start? And actually, it's interesting. I have my brother in high school, I think it was in like seventh or eighth grade, he actually took a finance class, like a personal finance class, and they actually taught him the basics. But he never applied it because he just didn't have any money, right? So he was taking his personal finance class like he was taking his geography class or he was taking his math class. He was just taking it to get through, get a good grade. And the application of it was never really enforced because at that age, they don't really have a job or anything. So even with the education, without the application of it,
people really struggle. So it's a matter of, I think it's a matter of getting the right information to the right people at the right time.
Well, that's I'm going to jump in, but isn't that kind of like throwing darts in the dark? When is that right time? When is that right moment? Like you just gave the example of your brother who he got the information, but he had no money. So could something change in the delivery of that message that could point them in the right direction? Because then the other part would be, well, maybe you take a college class, but not everyone goes to college or at some adult education. Where does that happen? Where is that right moment in time where the stars align and ta-da, we have brought Brad Hamada that's going to give us that information. When is that?
If you ask me, if I had to pick an ideal place, it would start in the workplace. And that's a little bit hard because the workplace is not your educational resource a lot of times. And so, but if I were to take a look at, you know, as people start to make money, or as you have people in the workplace that have been working for 10 or 20 years, you know, if these discussions came up in the workplace, you could have mentorship on financial security, just like you could have mentorship on engineering and coding and product development and all of these other things. And so if I had to pick a place, that's probably where I would start it, but it's a difficult conversation to have because it's not really the job of the employer to do something like that, but that's where it would be optimal.
And that would make sense. So that could actually be kind of one of those, what businesses are doing now is that professional growth piece, right, for their employees and encouraging mentorship and encouraging professional growth in the workplace and offering more workshops and training. So the workplace could essentially bring that in. And I think that's a great, I would agree with that. That's a great place to, great place to start with regards to kind of learning about these the real value of a dollar. We don't even understand that, right? So there's issues with people who says, what is really the value of $1? And I've heard you train and teach that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, so that's kind of the start of it. And I actually like it in the workplace because even if you're brand new and you start out, and you know, like a lot of younger people, you know, they're having fun making money and spending money. So it's not, you know, it's not something you would have someone, you know, just make available to new employees, but it would be an ongoing thing in the workplace so that at the point when people are ready to make that commitment towards their future, towards their family and all these other things, the resources will be there continuously, for them to reach out and be able to get that, advice. And I see a lot of corporations these days, they do offer it to some of the higher ups and some of the executives. But I also believe that if possible, it can be something that is offered, you know, as an educational piece for everyone within a company.
Absolutely. We got to go to commercial break. When we come back, more with Brad Hamada and really financial intelligence. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We're talking to Brad Hamada, financial trainer and expert in just helping you understand really how to save, how to prepare, how to understand money. And let's talk about insurances for a second. That's one of those topics and things that we know we need to do, and we do. In our last segment, you were talking about the 401k, and we do it, but we really don't know why we do it. So, and with that in mind, I have to ask about men and women in that workplace. Men tend to save more money and prepare better, and have amassed wealth better than women. Is that reason because women have largely been housewives? Maybe that's part of it. But those that are even in the workforce are still saving a lot less or preparing a lot less than what men would do for, say, retirement or wanting to have that comfortable future. And saving isn't just about insurance. It's really about what kind of lifestyle do you want to live when you you don't even have to retire to do that. You can really prepare to have a comfortable lifestyle even before you get into those golden years. And I think some of this might be cultural training that we don't get to take a break until we retire, right? But I think that we are changing in our in how we're how our society is now, right, Brad, in terms of thinking about, I'd like to, if I could quit work today, how would I do that and live the lifestyle that I currently live?
Yeah, I agree that things are changing quite a bit. As far as what you were talking about, as, you know, men saving more than women, you know, through the workshops I've been teaching, actually, you would be, you might be surprised or maybe not, that probably about 75% of the people that attend are women. And I have a friend, and I asked about that, and I asked her about that, and she said that, you know, that women these days are so much more independent than they were before. So now they're looking out for themselves more. They're not as dependent on, you know, finding a breadwinner as just becoming the breadwinner a lot for a lot of families. And, I think it's a good turn, of events. And I think it's good that everybody take control of their financial future, you know, even I always say that, you know, you may have a spouse that takes care of it, or you may have an advisor that takes care of everything for you, but paying someone to do something or having someone else take care of it doesn't preclude us from having good financial habits. And that's really where everything starts from, if you ask me. It's those good financial habits and understanding what those are that allow us to build wealth and do all the things that we want to later on in our life.
Right. And I would agree that women are much more alert and attentive to what we haven't been alert and attentive to. We still have some deficits in those trends. And I'm going to share some statistics in our next segment. But I would agree that there's some changes happening. But if we look at now, for example, the baby boomers, it's too late, right, to really, you know, turn that corner. When you say, you know, having better financial habits, let's pick on that for the next minute. When you say that, what do you mean when you say, you know, really having better financial habits early? What does that mean to you?
An example, just like a simple example, like this is something that, I mean, you can kind of find all over the place, but they say, you know, the idea of discipline, and some, you know, one concept of that is, for example, if somebody, you know, if somebody makes $20 an hour, and they save 30 minutes of their day, right? It's about $10 a day, you know. And if that, you know, if you can run the numbers, if that gets invested, about $300 a month over 30 years at 8% is almost $500,000. And so, a lot of times, since we don't have the knowledge about how a small quantity of money can add up to a lot, or we don't understand how money works, then we say, oh, what's the big deal about saving $10? It's not going to get me anywhere anyway. And so a lot of times it gets spent. And so the financial education can help create these habits that produce that, you know, saving small amounts of money over long periods of time can help produce, you know, dramatically, greater quantities of wealth over time. And you know, I don't think we need to all be wealthy necessarily, but to live a comfortable lifestyle, live a lifestyle that we would like to live as we get older.
That's fantastic. We got to go to commercial break and just change your mind on what $10 can do for you. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader. More with Brad Hatmata when we come back.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW. The
bright blessed day. Nice. Welcome back to Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We're talking to Brad Hatmata, financial trainer and educator. And Brad, I pulled up some statistics. Forbes did an article last year, published an article. And the name of this article, New Study May Explain Why Some Women Save Less Than Men for Retirement. And what's interesting in this article It says that 60% of men ranked saving for retirement as their top financial priority, compared to 44% of the women, according to the results of this survey. And some of the reasons that are mentioned why maybe women save less for retirement or preparing for retirement is daily live costs. 64% of women felt like their daily living debts and responsibility, those pressing concerns, they have to pay off debts and things like that. So daily living costs, 64%, and then paying off debts, that's 57% according to those findings. And so there's these other things that women are thinking about. And then they believe that they're saving some, that they may have saved. 57% are confident that they are saving comfortably for maybe 15 years out of retirement. And so there's some differences, and you shared earlier that having those saving habits, having those right habits, but other things play into those factors, right? What if they're a single mom, or their situation requires them to be more financially responsible for the day to day? We've got to get through the day to day. And hopefully we have the resources that we need for retirement. So we're seeing some differences there. So hearing that information, what are some thoughts that you have on just things that maybe women can do or versus men to maybe improve that? Why is it for men that we see this huge importance for men? Is that like a man thing versus a woman thing? What is that? Is there something in men that says, I've got to, whatever happens, I've got to prepare for retirement? Are they, if they're a family man, are they thinking, the whole scope, I want to make sure that my wife's taken care of, that traditional sense? What do you think else is weighing into that?
I think that does weigh into it. Kind of our cultural chivalry as far as being the breadwinner and really taking that role. Whether that really exists today or not is questionable. But I think just generally, if you ask me, I'm a guy. I feel a great need to provide financial security, and that can mean, some of it means now, but also some of it means into the future. And I think you're right. It's just kind of a cultural thing where men have taken the lead on this. But like I was saying, I think women these days are really starting to catch up. For anybody, I wouldn't even say it's a gender specific, but going out and looking for the resources, going out and looking for information, because very little financial information comes to you in the form of education. A lot of it comes in the form of products and services and flyers on your car and in the mail and things like that. But the educational side is still a side that is really lacking. And I consider financial education right now to be really the pink elephant in the room as far as most people's situation. I believe everyone can plan properly, given the right information and the right guidance, the right education.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no. So that's my take on it. Is it's not because women make less or men make more. It's just a matter of.
But wait. We're gonna go to a commercial break. We just hold that thought right there. I can't. I can't let to get past that and then go to a commercial. You listen to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Barry's business leader. When we come back, we're gonna address that last comment when we get into the concierge segment of the show.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge Magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show. And we're going to continue our conversation here in just a moment with Brad Hamada. Brad Hamada actually is also one of our concierges, so, and one of our contributor writers for the magazine. So we're excited about that and what we might get him to write about in our October issue. And we might have to have him write about women versus men difference in their gender pay. So I absolutely think it does impact those long-term goals, financial goals. But just to give you some information on our Small Business Concierge magazine, go out to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. Our next magazine is coming out in October. And if you have been listening to our show, we did a very special show with our live audience, Power Women guests. And so our magazine is going to be full of Power Women this go around. And we've got the Women Business Professional Women Week coming up in October, so we're excited about that. And if you want to read stories and just really understand the type of businesses that these leaders are working with and want to participate, you know, we love stories, and so the Small Business Concierge magazine is a great place to get stories, education, interest. And what I love about our magazine is that, you know, after being a business owner all day, every day, there's something happens when we go home. There's things that we do and things that are important to us. And so it is really a well-rounded magazine. And we're going to get back to Brad. We are going to we're doing a event with Brad on September 28th this month, Women and Girls. And that is about just really that wealth, building wealthy women and girls. And that's going to be on September 28th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Milpitas. You can register. It's absolutely free. So you'll get to see me, and I'll be talking a little bit about getting, and if you're a small business owner, woman, small business owner, we're going to talk about access to capital, financial trends about women, negotiations, and leading with finesse, and helping you kind of maybe catch up to men really in some of the financial differences that we see. And then Brad is certainly going to do his fantastic training on really understanding money, understanding the value of a dollar, and so many of the important concepts that, and like he was sharing earlier, if you're just tuning in, is really being responsible for the money that you earn and what you do with it after, of course, paying those bills. So we're excited. That is going to be September 28th, Building Wealthy Women and Girls. That is September 28th, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., absolutely free. You can go out to eventbrite.com and register. Just look up Building Wealthy Women and Girls and register and sign up. We'd love to have you out. And Brad will have a special little gift for you, depending on some of the things that happen in the training class that day. And so he has some special instructions for you to come out and listen. But you'll get those instructions the day of the class, Brad. So let's pick on your very last comment coming out of the last segment about women and men differences, that really, what my takeaway is that it really doesn't matter. And I'm like, what? So I pulled up some statistics just for you on payscale.com. Do men really make more money than women? We know that it's true. Difference in annual pay by gender. So as a software developer, we're seeing a 4% difference in pay between men and women, which men are making 4% more. Project manager construction, men are making more, 4% more. And that's, and we're looking at, this is for the software developer, that's around $63,000. Men are making maybe around $68,000. The project manager construction, men are making around $71,000, $72,000, 4% difference. That's the differentiation there, and women are making about $68,000. That matters when it comes to, when you want to save, you don't have, women don't have as much money to save, and they're paying. Now, what's interesting, I'd love to see, if we're going to do this, I'd love to see some gaps in what, like, my electricity bill is versus men and women. If you know, I'd like to see, if we're going to do this, play this game, it'd be great to see these common costs for women to be less and men to pay more if we're going to make less than men. So how do you resolve that when women want to build more wealth and we have these differences? We got 4% in software development. We've got 3% in computer systems administration, registered nurse, 2%, elementary school teachers, even as teachers, 1%. We're still seeing this difference. And so you've got 2 minutes to explain yourself.
All right. So 2 minutes. Okay. Ready, set, go. So my take on it is I don't agree with the gender differences as far as pay. I'm all for equal pay and things like that. But what I do look at as far as what you take home is, my philosophy is, you know, when you bring the money home, take care of what you can take care of, control what you can control. You know, and a lot of times, even, you know, if a man makes $5,000 more a year, so that breaks down to about $400 more a month, and it breaks down to about $200 more a paycheck, and it breaks down after tax is about $150. So the difference is only about $3 a day. But you know, what I see a lot in the Silicon Valley is I see a lot of families, male or female, single family, doesn't matter, but I'll see families that make, you know, or an individual that makes $50,000 that can save a few hundred dollars a month. And then I see people that make several hundred thousand who don't save anything at all. So when I look at that, you know, pay disparity or not, I look at that and I say a lot of it is a mindset. And that's where everything needs to start. And, you know, especially when we talk about our workshop and things that we're going to be doing, we're going to talk a little bit about mindset. And understanding, you know, I tell you, don't be bitter, right? Let's just make do with what we have, and we'll sort those other things out later. That's not my topic for tonight, but I want to talk about that mindset and having that saving mindset and being willing to sacrifice a little bit now for what you can have later. And when you understand that, then you can make better decisions.
Sure. We're going to wrap up this section, but great response. And make sure that we'll give you more information in the next segment for your opportunity to come to this workshop. You're listening to Margaret Jackson. Thank you for tuning into the Small Business Concierge segment of the show on AM 1220 KDOW Business and Finance. Be your business and finance leader.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
You know, we just have to give Phil Collins his props right there. Welcome back to Money 2.0, Business on the Edge. We're at the bottom of our hour. We've had fun just kind of talking to Brad about financial intelligence. And I like picking that kind of at that little elephant in the room, pink elephant in the room. And maybe it's not so little, but women really developing stronger habits and intelligence on finances, saving, preparing our girls. Susie Orman says this: a big part of financial freedom is having your mind free from worry about the what ifs of life. And it's more than retirement. I really like to stress that saving is not just about retirement. It's really about being free from those worries, those what-ifs, those things that pop up, or if you just want to do something fun. My mindset, Brad, is not that I have to wait to enjoy life after I retire. I certainly want to live a comfortable life, but I'd like to enjoy life along the way. And so it doesn't mean that living now, it's all or nothing. I think that there's a balance in that, and I think we need to maybe help understand that you don't spend it all. You don't spend everything that you're going to need for tomorrow, kind of thing. And so again, we have this Building Wealthy Women and Girls workshop with you. You want to do a pitch out there for our audience to come out?
Sure. You know, I think when it comes to a lot of things, let's say for example, you have a car and something goes wrong with your car, right? And it's making a clunking sound and it tells you, hey, you know what? That's the signal that you need to get some help. If not, your car may not run much longer. Or if you have a medical issue and you have some pain in your side or in your back, that's telling you, hey, go see somebody, go see an expert sure. about your health because something is wrong. The challenge with money is money never screams that it's hurt. Money never screams that it's not growing or that it's not doing what you want it to. And so money is really something that you cannot be reactive to. You have to be proactive. And I believe that the financial basics are not something that you eventually try to figure out that you want to save and then you learn. It's information that you learn that encourages you to save. And so it all starts with education. And I want anyone that is concerned about their financial future, come out and see what it's about. I've had people tell me, hey, you know, Brad, where were you 30 years ago? I was a little bit younger 30 years ago, but it's, you know, a lot of people are struggling to make use of the information as they get older. And they're saying, you know, I need younger people to hear this. So if you're younger or if you're getting on in years and but you're still concerned, come check out the workshop. Come see what it's about. You're going to get some great information to be able to make some better decisions about your financial future.
Absolutely. And you can get your ticket or register for that event at eventbrite.com. Just do a search for Building Wealthy Women and Girls for the Milpitas area here in Silicon Valley, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., September 28th. Come out, have a good time. I'll be there with Brad, so we'll be both sharing on different types of topics dealing with financial matters, but it is worth coming. And bring your girls. Bring your girls. They need to understand that moms and aunties and sisters care about their financial future as well. We are open to that. I've got to get out of here tonight. I appreciate you tuning in to the show. Brad, thank you so much for tuning in and calling in and being our guest tonight. So again, Building Wealthy Women and Girls, September 28th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Have a great night out there. Be good to someone. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.